Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Petella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us again this week, we're very, very excited to have Professor Farrell Brenner of Smart Minerals, because we've been talking the last couple of weeks about smart minerals and also how you can get your self-esteem through the roof, and why, in fact, if you aren't working on your self-esteem and you've got chronic illness of any type, you're making it very difficult for yourself. So if you haven't tuned into our previous episodes, make sure that you get them, because they're full of very, very powerful information when it comes to your health. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.
Awesome. So we talked last time about reversals and how important that was, and it's kind of like if you're walking down a path and it's heading towards a cliff going in the wrong direction, why it might be a good idea to sort of turn off and go into another direction, and why a lot of that maybe happens on a subconscious level. And Farrell, you talked in particular about the reversal of self-esteem and how the other, so I guess if you look at it as a coin, one side being, you know, high self-esteem, the other side would be something like self-hate. But what's the other side of fear or shock or trauma? How does that kind of work into this?
Right. Well, let's talk about shock and trauma a little bit later on. Let's get right to the fear. So we're talking about that reversal is a state where your basic survival instincts are reversed. And so you shoot yourself in the foot, stick the foot in the mouth, pick the wrong person to marry or date, make the wrong investments, have your immune system attack yourself instead of the invading pathogens, and so on. So getting that corrected is critical. But now we talk about, that's pretty much all under the rubric or the heading of self-esteem, raising the self-esteem, and the product that does that, that was specifically designed for that, is called The Gift, which has the energy and information of unconditional love in ormus-based minerals and other trace minerals. But in the condition of fear, we have something else that's a little bit different. For example, the condition of fear, in fear you're supposed to run away. That would be a healthy response, is to run away. For example, if a bear, if you see a bear up ahead in the woods, do not approach the bear.
That's right.
If you see a nice rattlesnake in the road, maybe walk a different direction. Fear should say, hey, watch out. You're going down the highway in the middle of the night. It's one of those interstates, and you're doing 70, 75 miles an hour, and you're starting to feel sleepy. All of a sudden, a shot of fear goes through you, and you say, what the heck am I doing? I need to slow down or pull over or turn the radio up way high, roll the windows down. I need to wake up. Fear helps you to survive. But when fear is in reversal, the fear drives us to do the exact reverse. So, for example, when we catch a deer in our headlights, now where I am in Texas, we have a lot of this. People sometimes put special things on their car at night, make a sound that the deer can hear to chase the deer away before it actually sees your headlights. Because if it sees your headlights and it's caught in the middle of the road, it will be paralyzed by fear. And if you don't see it soon enough and come to a stop, you run right into that poor deer and can kill it, and can certainly even kill yourself or certainly ruin your car.
Right.
So that'd be an example of being paralyzed by fear. Fear also can start a cascade physiologically that results in a stress syndrome. A guy by the name of Hans Seeley wrote volumes. He's world famous. I think he may have gotten a Nobel Prize for his work on stress syndrome. It's where the fear cascades. It doesn't stop. And they become a series of chemical events. And so your body becomes on. It becomes ready. It gets stuck into a fight or flight syndrome. So instead of the fear being specific, coming and going, boom, you're in a reversal state. The fear keeps going and going and going, and it exhausts you. It's like being in your car and having floored the gas pedal. It's tearing the heck out of your engine, using up all your gas, and making it impossible for you to drive safely. These are a couple of examples. This one was physiological fear, and the other one was behavioral fear, where the deer gets caught in the headlights. What is the most common? Yes.
Farrell, could I interject that this question is, you know, the behavior, especially of testosterone-loaded males who are totally attracted to the thrill of taking it to the edge.
Do you mean danger sex, or do you mean just danger, period?
Danger, you know, like a guy who wants to ride on top of the roof of a moving car, you know, car surfing. Or a guy who wants to take the biggest wave, the bigger than ever. Or,
well,
you know,
there's a fine edge between cutting edge athletes and athletes who are basically crazy, because crazy means not. It's crazy is not a psychiatric or a psychological term. What I mean by it is that we're doing something that's very counterproductive to our survival and or to our success. And I'm saying and or to our success because sometimes, for example, a loving parent will sacrifice his or her own well-being or life to save or to protect their own child. And we've seen that certainly soldiers, for example, have done heroic actions and so forth. So it's not just about survival. It's about however you yourself define success. So it's a fine line where you're talking, Martin, about people who are defining success in what may seem to us to be a crazy way. It may not be crazy for them. They may have a reason that if we understood it, we go, okay, yes. But there is this other thing that's an addiction to a state of arousal. And these people may not be feeling fear. They may be getting high off of the adrenaline. And that's another thing. That's another thing. I would actually want to test a person like that and see what their self-esteem is, because these people may be actually suffering from a very low self-esteem. I did have a client who was a world-class class athlete, and she had self-esteem reversal. But she also had shock and trauma as part of the embeddedness of the reversal, and I'm going to go into that in a little while. So we are born with only two fears. Isn't that interesting? We're only born with two fears. Do you know what they are? Pop quiz.
I would
fear
say
of heights and fear of speaking.
No, it would be.
Wait, you're close. Go on, Martin.
Fear of change and fear of death.
No. Okay, those are both all really good answers. But the truth is, what you said, Scott, fear of public speaking is actually the number one phobia in America. that's right. People can sweat bullets. And that's an example of fear reversal, by the way. And when you take them out of fear reversal, they'll do the same thing and say, no, I was never afraid. Uh-uh. What are you talking about? They won't even have any memory for it.
Right.
That's how interesting it is.
We're talking about two types of fear here. And I think it's really important to emphasize that, because there is, as you've said, and you've got great examples, there is very beneficial fears, like you know, running into a deer on a highway, you know, and then there's all these other fears that we have which control our lives and stop us from doing a lot of things that are just like
imaginary.
That's just what I was thinking. Imaginary fears, and if we can develop the healthy, you know, I don't want to say develop the healthy fears, but develop the appreciation of the healthy fears and reverse or remove the unhealthy fears, we're going to be a lot further ahead, I think, in living lives that we're happy.
It's a good point. But in fact, as a matter of fact, in my research, and if you think it through, I think you'll see what I'm talking about, we found that fear is not really necessary at all. The emotions are a primitive signaling system. And instead of feeling fear, we can be aware. You know that word, beware?
Yeah.
You know, it's a contraction of be aware. We don't need to feel the fear if we understand enough to be paying attention. What we need to do instead of feeling fear is to pay attention. Does it really serve a high wire person to feel fear? I don't think so. I think what it would do is to pay attention. That's what he needs to be into what's called a flow state, an optimum state of functioning, which is exact opposite of reversal, is a flow state. It's where everything is working, coming together and working smoothly and perfectly, and it's a high. And it's something like the runner's high. It's something like the creative artist's high. It's something that you may experience when you have a great recording, a great broadcast, that you might experience when you were talking to someone on the phone and you were listening to their problem and you knew what they meant and you knew exactly what to say to help them and brought them to the right products. You might feel that sense of flow, that state mm-hmm. of satisfaction, of fulfillment. Okay, right. And that's
the, I would like to bring some sort of more common examples. I would say, for me, it was playing in a rock band. You know, just being one of the members,
yes.
and we were
yes.
all playing well, and it sounded great, and it was yes. hugely satisfying. But I can think of, you know, sports games like team sports, where all of a sudden you can see that the team mindset is such that they're unstoppable. Like
yes,
every pass yes. happens as it should, right?
That's exactly right. The psychology of flow, FLOW, the psychology of flow is actually a well-studied phenomenon, and it comes out of sports psychology. There's a great book on the subject, and I can't give you the title right off, but the author is Czechoslovakian or something like that. His name is very difficult to pronounce. I have no clue how to pronounce it. But if you Google psychology and flow state, FLOW state, you can find out more about that. But that's the opposite, and it's what we want to go towards. And indeed, some people who take these products say, this is what I feel. I feel high. There's no drug in this. There was a workshop in Austin, and I made the gift in that workshop. It was a workshop dealing with Ormus Minerals. And Barry Carter, who's perhaps the modern-day guru of Ormus, he invited me to make a presentation. So as part of the presentation, I did the final step of making the gift in its earliest form. It was version one. As I made it in the class, and I gave everybody a bit of it in a cup, and two people in the class swore to me that they thought I had put ecstasy in it. I said, no such thing. You're just feeling such an extraordinary shift to a natural state of who you really are, that you think you're feeling high. You're not. You're just feeling really good. And that's who you are. Okay, the gift can do that.
Right.
Okay.
I would like to just show off my European background here. The fellow that you're talking about, he's actually Hungarian.
Ah.
And it's indeed spelled funny because Hungarians use different letters to make different sounds. It's actually easy to pronounce. It's Mihai Csikszentmihalyi.
That you must be in a flow state to be getting that right, Martin. Good for you.
Easy. I can read Hungarian. I don't speak it.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Do you know the name of the book?
Could probably come up with it. One second.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Moving right along, okay?
Okay, right.
So what we want to do, so Scott, you asked the question, what is the reversal of fear?
Yeah.
The reversal of fear is to not necessarily feel the fear, but it's to be able to be effective in both survival and attaining the success that you're looking for. The reversal of the fear is to become rational. It's to become functional. And that's the reversal of fear. Now, I want to tell you a story that is very interesting. I'd like to tell a story about an alchemist, a person who deals with Ormus, whose name is Sikh Virta, and he lives in Hong Kong, with his wife, who is an important state dignitary there. And they make quite a bit of different ormus. And I met him at an international conference in 2010. And when I met him, I saw him at a distance, and he was walking like a crab. I thought, oh my goodness, here's a man who clearly was born with this terrible burden, this birth defect. And my heart went out to him. Well, that night I found out that, in fact, he wasn't born with any kind of defect at all. He had fallen down a flight of steps before he got on the plane and almost was unable to come. And when I saw him the next day, and I'd like to say this about Siverta, he is an evolved man. He's not your regular average person. He's somebody who does a lot of spiritual practices and has been involved in self-discovery and self-development for a long time, the development of consciousness. By the time I saw him the next day, he was walking almost normally. I couldn't even believe it was the same person. And I walked up to him and I said, I heard that you had this terrible accident before you came. He said, oh, I'm okay. I said, well, really, how are you right now? He said, honestly, I'm fine. I said, well, how would you feel about being tested for that actually? He said, no problem. And he came over, and I gave him a kinesiological test, and he was not testing for, he was not testing in weakness, he was not testing in shock, and he was not testing in trauma. So he said, I told you, I'm fine. I said, you're fine, now let's see how your body is doing. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you as a mental being are no longer affected by that accident. But what about your body itself, those trillions of cells, that animal being down there? Let's take a look at that. He said, okay, I'm game. Stuck out his arm, and I said, now put your hand on the place where your injury was greatest, where your pain was the greatest. And when he did, and I tested his other arm, he had no strength at all. He was completely weak. And when I asked his body, using technical kinesiology, this is where I use hand motes to find out exactly what's causing the weakness. It was shock and trauma. So he said, what's going on? I don't understand. I said, well, it's like this. You are over the fear and you are over the pain, but your body isn't over the memory of the event. And that memory is called shock and trauma, and it's recorded in the cells of your body, and it is continuing to play that memory. Now, in Siegbert's case, because he was an evolved person, he consciously was not suffering at all, but his body was suffering. And what we know from years and years of research by myself and countless other people who did pain research and recovery from accidents is that unless you take out the shock and trauma, the body is very slow to heal. The memory keeps replaying itself again and again and keeps itself in a cascade of negative events. In other words, it's acting in fear reversal of this kind. It's called shock and trauma. The memory interferes with the healing. It's re-traumatizing itself. Now, if a person experiences that consciously, it's called PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's what we used to call shell shock from World War II, I guess it was, and later on got named post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is what most of the people who are being treated for who wind up in the VA hospitals. So this, I said, would you like to try this? He said, hell, I'm buying it right now. So he bought a bottle, and he bent over, and I stuck it on his back right then and there. And he stands up straight as an arrow, starts taking these big stretches, looks right at me, and he said, it's perfect now.
Wow.
Yeah, just now, like Siegberta is not an ordinary human being, you know.
He's
an evolved fellow.
He is a somewhat evolved fellow. I'm nobody to say how evolved someone is, but right. Clearly.
But you can when he writes or when he speaks or when he enters the room, you know that there's quite a bit of background to him.
Exactly. So this gives you a couple of examples of what we mean by fear reversal and the usefulness of this. was I got a chance. Are we clear on this, Scott? Are we doing
yes.
good?
Yeah, we're doing really good. I like the whole idea of, first of all, you don't have to be fearful of anything. And secondly, when you deal with the fear, you can get into the flow, which, of course, is an amazing place to be.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And there's an intention, you know, like we say, the intention with a gift is I love and accept myself. And actually, more recently, I changed that to I value and accept myself, because love is a funny word. And people really have some, unless it's an emotion, they don't really know what it means. And so I've got this technical little twist on it that I value and accept myself. And I came up with one also for an intention for the use of the fear product, for the fear reversal. It's called freedom from fear shock and trauma. And that is, it's safe for me now. It's safe for me now to no longer feel, or to no longer be, or to no longer act in the way that's a problem. For example, it's safe for me now to no longer feel this back pain. Well, that's an interesting idea.
You know, that totally reminds me of the work that John Sarno did and wrote about in his book, Mind-Body Prescription, where he's spent some time researching chiropractic and seeing that subluxation and x-rays are no correlation for pain.
Yes.
And then he found that people can essentially negotiate with their subconscious.
Yes.
Where you will just say, thank you very much for protecting me from this, whatever memory it is that you're trying to keep from me to getting into my consciousness. And I hereby request that you find another way, instead of these constant migraines or instead of these constant back pains, to
exactly.
To express the protection that you're doing for me. Thank you
exactly.
very much. Just let's move it elsewhere.
So I did that type of work for years. And I found that people had varying degrees of limitedness as to how well they could do that, how well they could renegotiate with their subconscious. And I became a specialist for the different levels of mind, going from conscious mind to the emotional mind, to the body mind, to the physiological mind, and each one having basically a separate computer with a separate set of parameters. I became very conversant with how to negotiate with them. And my products have the information that's directed to the different levels of mind to say, hey, can we make a new deal? Take a look at this. And it has the energy of that outcome as well. It's one thing to say lollipop, and it's something else to have the taste of a cherry lollipop in your mouth. That's much more powerful. So you get the energy and the information. And then if in addition to that, all that's in the product, if in addition to that you use it with intent, the intent being you simply say like you mean it, I value and accept myself, or, which is level one of the self-esteem, or you can start working with the safety issue, because the opposite of fear is safety. One of the questions I would ask people when I was taking them out of fear, and just talking to them about it before actually doing anything at all, is, do you know enough about the situation where you can stop feeling fear and just do it, and just do it, and just know what to do that's correct for you? And most people just look up at the ceiling and look down and say, wow, I never thought of that. I never thought about it like that. Yeah, I do know. I don't have to feel fear. I don't have to feel fear. Well, that satisfies the conscious mind, and then the product satisfies the unconscious mind. You see?
Yeah.
So, Farrell, which of these products would then be most appropriate for people who do have these recurring physiological pain type of issues?
Well, of course, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not entering into a professional relationship with anybody. The idea of these products is for people to help themselves. These are helps for people to help themselves. Just the action of using the product is a powerful communication that you have an intent to change something, and the product should fit the intent. Okay? So if, for example, it's pain, then I would say fear, shock, and trauma would be a likely suspect. But it depends on what's going on, because pain can be the result as anybody who works with people who have been in pain knows, anything can cause pain. So the pain can be from shock or trauma, but it can be from many other things. It can be guilt. It can be shame. It can be low self-esteem. It can be anything. It could be a poke in the eye with a stick.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm kind of curious as to why you, you've got one product called Fear, Shock, and Trauma, and why you place them all together, because...
Excellent question.
Guilt
Excellent.
And blame, you can kind of see, you know, if I'm guilty yes. or I'm blaming you or I'm blaming me. But
yes.
But the other three, I'm kind of curious as to their
okay.
relationship.
Good question. So it kind of goes back to the idea that we were born with only two fears. And the two fears are, I don't know if we ever actually got to tell you what
no.
they are.
No.
Because I love, sorry, I apologize to everybody, I dropped that. So the two fears that we're born with is fear of heights and fear of loud sounds. And you can see that those could be very useful for keeping an infant alive. But here's the deal. All the other fears are learned. All the other fears are learned. And what are they learned by? And what exactly is a fear? A fear is an expectation that something that was painful might happen again. A fear is an expectation that something that happened that's painful might happen again. Okay? That's a fear. So in other words, you have to have a learning there that this happened. I see this thing, this pretty thing. It's called a flame. And I'm a little kid, and it looks pretty. And somebody says, why don't you try to pick it up, who's teasing me or taunting me, and I do it. And I, by the way, this actually happened to me, and I remember being a little kid and doing it, try to pick up the flame. And it's, oh, it's so pretty. But guess what? It hurts. Here now, they shove the flame in your face. No, no, get it away from me. I'm scared now. It only takes one time. But if it caused enough pain, there's a trauma. There's a shock. Okay? So the trauma and the shock are associated physiological and psychological processes that happen with a painful event. So for example, if you're being mauled by a lion, and by the way, this has actually been reported in the literature, you will get to a place while you're being mauled by the lion, this is recorded by somebody who survived a lion attack, that they are actually in a euphoric state. What's happened? They have completely dissociated from their bodies.
Wow.
Now that is called shock. Shock is a preparation for dying. It's a dissociation from the physical body. Now, isn't that a great thing to do when you're going to die? Dissociate from the physical body so that you don't have to feel every horrible, tortuous thing that's going on.
Particularly if the lion's about to eat you, yeah, I would think that would be great.
Hey, I'm going to extend that to lions, bears, wolves, and you name it. Anything that's that painful, that looks like it could be killing you, there is a God-given relief for that, and it's this dissociation going into shock. Now, by itself, what do we know from watching TV? If you don't treat the person for shock, they can die even though there's nothing wrong. They started to die, they keep dying. Now, there are even cases that we know of from psychotherapy where somebody close to the client died and they bonded with the person. They were so close to the person who died that a little bit of them died with them. And after that, nothing worked right. It wasn't grief. They also went into shock. They also became dissociated partially from their physical body. And what's the result? The result is the physical body doesn't work right. The result is the person is no longer making good survival choices, either physiologically, emotionally, or mentally, to interface with their world and with their life in an adaptive way. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. I can totally see the connection between fear, shock, and trauma now that you put it that way.
And the trauma is the cellular memory being replayed again and again and interfering with the healing process.
Right.
You know, I'd like to point out this thing of older people losing their spouse, right? Somebody who they lived with for a long time.
Yes.
And it's so common for the other one to follow soon after the first one.
Within 6 months, that is correct.
Wow. Very common. I've seen it so many times.
That is an actual statistic. There's a very high rate of the spouse passing on, the second spouse passing on within 6 months. So what fear, shock, and trauma have in common is a painful, and that could not necessarily be physiological pain. That can be mental or emotional pain as well.
Right.
That the experience of any kind of pain can result in the learning called fear that it's going to happen again, can result in the dissociated state called shock, which is getting ready to die, and you can't live your life when you're getting ready to die, or trauma, the memory of the event being replayed again and again that interferes with your healing, with your recovery.
So, Farrell, we're getting right near the end of our time again today, and I just can't believe how fast it flies. But with the gift, you had mentioned, you know, putting a drop on your heart area,
yes,
the heart chakra.
Yes.
How would you use fear, shock, and trauma?
That is a great question. First of all, if there was a place where the shock or trauma occurred, as in with Sikh Virta, I said put it right on that place, and it just went right to the core. These products are meant to be transdermally absorbed. That means through the skin. You just put it on the skin, it goes right in. If you rub it on your skin and come back in 5 minutes and take a look at it, there's nothing there. There's no residue. There's nothing left. It just sucks right into you. It's a terrific way to get anything into your body. And it's also a warning. Anything that you put on your body, don't put it on your body unless you put it in your mouth. Okay, there's another lesson to be learned by this. So we put it where it hurts, okay? Or for fear in particular, we may want to put it on the kidney meridians. So the kidney meridians are at the top, at the notch in the throat, where the little bumpies are from the collarbone, in the notch
of
your throat, where the little bumpies are. So you put it there, and or you can put it on the inside of your ankles, not the outside, the inside of the ankle, just between the ankle bone and your heel. In between that, that's where the kidney meridians cross over. And it also relates to one of the chakras. The gift works with the fire element in the body and the fire meridians, which is the small intestine and heart, and the fear, shock, and trauma, freedom from fear, shock, and trauma, works with the water element, which is the chakra that is just the energy center just below the navel. It's halfway between the navel and your pubic bone. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So perfect. That goes right there. It's also called the lower Dan Tien in Qigong and Tai Chi and so forth.
Great.
Or the second chakra. So the reason why this product was made fear, shock, and trauma is because it deals with the underlying issue that can give rise to fear or shock or trauma. Now, if we have time, I'd like to tell a little story, but if we don't, I won't.
We're just running out of time, so can we tell the story next time?
That may be. That may
Great.
Be. Okay.
I'll make a note to ask you about the story.
That may be. Okay.
Martin, if somebody wanted to learn more about fear, shock, and trauma, or the gift, or Ormus, and some of the things we've been talking about, what should they do?
It's on our website, life-enthusiast.com. Under brands, look up Smart Minerals. Under products, look up Ormus, Nano Minerals. It's or phone us. We can guide you. It's 1-866-543-3388.
And I just want to remind everybody that the reason we call the product Smart Minerals is not just because the people who take them are very smart, but also because the intelligence, the insight, the wisdom, the outcome that you'd gain possibly from years of therapy is actually what's inside the energy and the information in these products. Smart Minerals. Okay.
You got it. These are no blank CDs. Thank you. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.